The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of this station. Content is for educational purposes only. Consult a financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence if investing. Calls are pre-screened and the show was pre-recorded earlier this week. Rick is with Edelman Financial Engines, a part of Financial Engines Advisors, LLC, and the investment advisor that furnishes this program. Barron's ranks financial advisory firms based on assets managed, team size, experience, and regulatory record. Firms self-nominate. Investment returns and experience are not considered. Advisors in the Hall of Fame have been in the top 100 for 10-plus years. Future performance is not guaranteed.
This is the Rick Edelman Show. Barron's ranks Edelman Financial Engines the number one independent investment advisor in the country. And Rick is in the Barron's Financial Advisor Hall of Fame. Now, here's Rick Edelman.
And a very happy weekend to you. Welcome to the Rick Edelman Show. Wonderful holiday season, especially for the more than a quarter of a million Americans who got jobs who didn't have them before. Yes, indeed. The Labor Department has released data, and it says that we added 266,000 jobs in the month of November. This is the fastest pace of new job growth since last January, almost a year ago. Unemployment is now at 3.5%. That's the lowest level since 1969. It's a 50-year low. It's astonishing. 110 months in a row of job gains. And it's not just the number of people working that are doing better than ever. The amount of money you're earning is doing better than ever. Wages are up over 3% from a year ago. And the economy is moving right along. The GDP, the gross domestic product, which is a measurement of all the goods and services we sell as a nation on an annual basis, rose at a 2.1% annual rate in the third quarter, according to the Commerce Department. This data is not only fabulous, it is wildly unexpected. Daniel Zoe, the senior economist at Glassdoor, said, quote, "This report," referring to the 266,000 jobs that were created in October, he said, quote, "This report is a real blockbuster. This news smashed expectations." Becky Frankiewicz, the president of Manpower, one of those big job sites, said, quote, "No one would have ever guessed." Now, I cite both of these folks, an economist at Glassdoor, the president of Manpower, two people intimately immersed in the jobs market, and they both acknowledged that this was unexpected and nobody saw this coming. So it just demonstrates why you must not pay attention to anybody's predictions. Do you remember this past summer when everybody was talking about recession? Well, it's pretty clear the opposite is going on right now. In fact, Vistage, that's an organization of small business owners around the country. They surveyed employers all around the U.S. in November. 60% said they plan to hire even more people next year. Only 4% of those they surveyed said they were planning to lay staff off. So not only is job growth doing great now, it looks like it's going to continue doing well based on what small business owners are saying in these surveys. And as Joe Galvin said it best, he's the chief research officer at Vestige, he said, quote, "You can't have a recession when there's full employment." That kind of says it all. So we're really excited, and you should be as well. But are you? That's really the question I want to highlight here, because we are occasionally getting commentary from folks who acknowledge, golly gee willikers, I'm not real satisfied with my investment results. You see, you take a look at what's going on this year in the stock market. The S&P 500 so far this year is up 25%. It's really very exciting how well the stock market's been doing. And often people listen to that. They hear that statistic because you just heard me say it. You hear a lot of folks in the news talking about it. And people then say, wait a minute. My investments aren't doing that well. So let me help you decide whether or not you should be annoyed or even surprised that your investments aren't doing as well as what you're hearing. Two things you have to look at. First, how much of your money is invested in the stock market? If you're doing what you really ought to be doing, maintaining a diversified portfolio, you don't have all of your money in the stock market. So go ahead, take a look at the portion of your portfolio that's invested in stocks, and do take a look and see how it's doing relative to the stock market itself today. And oh, by the way, make sure it's an apples-to-apples comparison. You can't just compare your stock funds to the S&P 500, because the S&P 500 is an index of the 500 biggest companies in America. You more likely own mid-sized companies and small companies, not just the very biggest. And you probably own companies from overseas as well. You've got to make sure you're comparing apples to apples. You can't compare a small company stock fund to the S&P 500. You can't compare a fund that invests in foreign stocks to an American stock index. It's simply an apples to oranges comparison, and you'll get misleading results. That's the first step, is to make sure you're properly evaluating your portfolio. The second thing you've got to do is make sure that you're evaluating it for the life of your portfolio, not just this year. 25% return in the stock market is highly unusual. You should not be assuming that that's normal. You cannot assume that that's predictable. You shouldn't assume you're going to get that same result again next year. This is why we diversify. And if that's what you've been doing, and you've been doing it for a long time, well, your portfolio results might be very different. For example, if you've owned your portfolio since 2012, and the only thing in it is the S&P 500, you've made 15% per year over the last 7 years. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? But if you owned that portfolio since 2008, you haven't made 15% a year. You've only made 9% a year. Because we have to look at the long-term results. So you can't simply say, golly gee, I've owned my investment portfolio for 5 years or for 10 years or for whatever, and I'm not happy that it didn't make 25% this year. You're doomed to disappointment if that's the eyeglasses through which you're examining the results. And the second thing is, you probably don't have all your money in the S&P 500. You probably have a diversified portfolio. Let's assume your portfolio is a 60-40 portfolio, 60% in stocks and 40% in bonds. And let's also assume that the 60% of stocks is the S&P. The 40% of bonds is the broad bond market, the Barclays Aggregate Bond Index. Guess what? Since 2012, that 15% produced by stocks, you only got 3% out of the bond market, 3% per year. In other words, the blended result is 10% a year since 2012. And if you owned it since 2008, that blended result is 7% a year, solid single digits. Of course, this doesn't include any fees and expenses that you'd pay. So before you're quick to say, golly gee willikers, I don't think I'm happy with my portfolio, let's make sure you're examining your portfolio effectively. And here's one final trap people get themselves into. They say, I never should have switched out of the investments I owned because my old investments have performed a lot better than my new investments since the time I made the switch. Again, that's an apples to oranges comparison. To do a fair comparison, you need to look at the old investments you used to own and see how they've done in the same time period as the new investments you own today. In other words, comparing an investment and how it performed in the 1990s isn't necessarily the same as how it's performed in the 2010s. So you not only have to compare the apples to apples asset classes, you have to compare them in the very same time periods. It can get rather confusing and rather muddling. The message is simply this. If you have a diversified portfolio, I'm willing to bet that you have obtained very exciting results. If you doubt that, it's easy enough to confirm whether or not I'm right. And if you don't know how to do that analysis comparison, just talk with your financial advisor and say, I would like to see a portfolio analysis of how my investments have done relative to their benchmarks, and perhaps even relative to the old investments I used to have. And you'll probably discover that you're probably going to be pretty happy about the results. But don't allow misinformation, miscommunication, or incorrect assumptions to lead you astray. And the reason I say all this is because if you are disappointed, and incorrectly so, meaning it's based on false information, inaccurate conclusions, what have you, if you are unhappy, you might be motivated to shift, to switch, to make a change in your portfolio, and you'd be doing the wrong thing at the wrong time for the wrong reason. So if changes are appropriate, great, let's figure it out. Let's determine what you need to be doing. But if that's not the case, well then, goodness gracious, let's just make sure we understand that before we act. Because there's been an incredible survey just released, published this past week in USA Today. 71% of adults today say they feel financially secure. 7 out of 10. It was less than 5 out of 10 who said that in 2009. Why have we experienced such a dramatic increase in the number of people who say they feel financially secure? I'll tell you why. It's because they have continued to invest since 2009. The people who I believe are feeling as insecure now as then are people who sold out of disappointment, out of fear over what was going on in the economy at the time, and have been sitting on the sidelines ever since. They sold at the wrong time for the wrong reasons, and they're paying the price today. Don't fall into that trap. Make sure that you're evaluating your portfolio performance accurately relative to your goals and objectives, your risk tolerance, and that way you'll be more likely to achieve the financial results that you're seeking. Got any questions? Got any confusion about any of this? Give us a call. 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-752-6742. Or online at ricedelman.com.
More with the publisher of the newsletter Inside Personal Finance, coming up on The Rick Edelman Show.
Want a financially secure retirement? Hi, Rick Edelman here. Let me tell you how we do it here at Edelman Financial Engines. We start with helping you figure out how much income you'll need in retirement. Next, we look at your pension and Social Security income, and finally, your savings and investments. As part of all this, we consider when you want to retire, your life expectancy, and your spouse's age and life expectancy too. We look at inflation, taxes, and investment rates of return. And very important, we ask how you feel about leaving money to your kids and grandkids. There's a lot to consider, and if you've never tackled the topic of retirement security before, it can be a little intimidating. That's why you should come talk with us. At Edelman Financial Engines, we're experts at retirement planning, and we can help you make sure that your retirement is exactly what you want it to be, well-funded. So call us at Edelman Financial Engines, 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
Take a vacation tonight or this weekend because it's so close to home at Tulalip Resort Casino. 8 restaurants to choose from, wonderful hotel, always great entertainment. Find out more. Go to tulalipresortcasino.com.
On the House with Harry Crist will not be heard this Sunday due to the big game. Catch the On the House podcast at MyNorthwest.com. Primary residential mortgage, NMLS 3094. Harry Crist, NMLS 96705. PRMI is an equal housing lender.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Rick Edelman.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
And we're got some sad news. 1,000 dead ETFs. Yeah, we have had 1,000 ETFs over the past several years go out of business, close their doors. Some in the industry say there are 500 more ETFs that are going to shut down their business operations. Why might that happen? Well, you have to understand that an exchange-traded fund, like mutual funds, they are in business. You know, the fund companies that manufacture these products are doing so to make a profit. They have an annual fee they charge you. It's called the annual expense ratio. And they range anywhere from, oh, say, 0.1% per year to more than 2.5% per year. So they want people to invest money in their fund so they can collect that fee and earn a profit from the fee. But wait a minute. That entire fee does not represent profits. They have to incur the costs of running the fund. The general rule of thumb in the mutual fund ETF world is that it takes about $50 million in assets for the fund to be able to break even. It varies, of course, depending on what their expenses truly are and what the revenue is they're earning from the fund. But basically, if the fund doesn't have $50 million, $100 million in assets, they're not going to be able to stay in business. And that's what's happened to these 1,000 ETFs. They have all closed because they weren't earning enough revenue to stay in business. So you've really got to ask yourself, what's the risk to you if you own an ETF that shuts its doors? Well, don't worry. You don't lose all your money. The fund, when it closes, sells all the assets in the fund. You know, if it's a stock fund, it sells off all the stocks, and it returns to you the money you've invested, the value of those securities. So you don't lose your investment. You don't even necessarily lose money on the investment because these are the stocks inside the fund, not the fund itself. But what it could do is trigger taxes. Because if this is a taxable investment that you've made and they sell the securities in the fund and send the cash back to you, well, you have to report all that in your tax return. So you might get hit with a tax liability by virtue of the fund closing down. So did your fund go out of business? And might it yet? Keep this in mind. The average lifespan of a dead ETF is less than 3.5 years. So how old are the investments in your portfolio? If they're relatively new investments, if those funds have only been around a year or two, go find out how much do they have in total assets under management. If it's less than $100 million, maybe that fund might not last. You might want to think about that before you buy such a fund. Hey, Massachusetts has been in the news this past week. The state regulator, William Galvin, has introduced a proposal that will require everybody in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts who provides financial advice to consumers to act as a fiduciary. This is awesome news because right now, only registered investment advisors have to adhere to the fiduciary standard, meaning only RIAs, registered investment advisors, folks like us here at Edelman Financial Engines, I'm a registered investment advisor, only we have to adhere to the fiduciary standard. Now, just merely being an RIA doesn't connote any particular expertise or skills or whatever, but it does mean we have to conform to the rule that we act as a fiduciary. But stockbrokers don't have to do that, and insurance agents don't have to do that, and this new proposal in Massachusetts will apply to all of them. Broker-dealers, insurance agents, as well as investment advisors. William Galvin said that advice will have to be based on, quote, what is best for the customers and clients without regard to the interests of the broker-dealer or its personnel. So we're very excited about this, but you know who hates this proposal? The financial services industry. Yes, the FSI is a trade group that represents 100 financial firms and 160,000 brokers around the country. And the FSI says the rule will restrict investor choice. Well, of course it will, because people will no longer be able to sell to you products that aren't in your best interest. So good, it's going to restrict investor choice. People like stockbrokers and insurance agents will no longer be able to peddle some of the products they're currently foisting on you. The FSI also says that they don't like the rule because it will create higher compliance costs for financial advisors. Well, excuse me, that's great news for you. The fact that they're going to have to do a better job at complying with the rules, well, too bad. You know, I think there's a theme song at the financial services industry.
I don't know what they have to say. It makes no difference anyway. Whatever it is, I'm against it.
So, really, we're going to have to see how this plays out in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and other states around the country as well. But we're very enthused. And one of the reasons that we like the idea of having to serve your best interests is because some of the advice that we see people providing, frankly, isn't advice at all. We've got Matthew Miskin. He's the chief investment strategist for John Hancock. Now, John Hancock is a pretty big company, and you would expect their chief investment strategist to say something profound to help you in your investment management decision making. He just announced that the chance of a recession in 2020 is 50-50. Seriously? It's 50-50? I'm wondering how much money we're paying Matthew Miskin of John Hancock, the chief investment strategist, to tell us that the chances of a recession are 50-50. I can pretty much make a prediction on everything you can possibly envision by telling you that the odds of it's happening is 50-50. Either it will or it won't. All right, final subject here on the program for the moment, and that is your New Year's resolutions. I know, you're busy focusing on the holiday season, trying to get through that with all the gift giving and the decorations and the parties and all that kind of good stuff, but it's not too late. We already know what the top five financial resolutions are going to be for next year because the surveys are already out. Number one, people want to save more money every month. Number two, they want to reduce spending every month. Number three, you want to pay off credit card debt. Number four, you want to build an emergency fund. And number five, you want to save more for retirement. Does any of that sound familiar to you? If you want to figure out how you can save more money every month, save more for retirement, build an emergency fund, 888-PLAN-RICK is how you reach us here at Edelman Financial Engines. That's 888-752-6742. We can help you get a jump start on your New Year's resolutions so that your 2020 is indeed the best gift under the tree. I'm Rick Edelman. You're listening to The Truth About Money. Stay with us.
Of information on personal finance, go to the education page at rickedelman.com.
Want a financially secure retirement? Hi, Rick Edelman here. Let me tell you how we do it here at Edelman Financial Engines. We start with helping you figure out how much income you'll need in retirement. Next, we look at your pension and Social Security income, and finally, your savings and investments. As part of all this, we consider when you want to retire, your life expectancy, and your spouse's age and life expectancy too. We look at inflation, taxes, and investment rates of return. And very important, we ask how you feel about leaving money to your kids and grandkids. There's a lot to consider, and if you've never tackled the topic of retirement security before, it can be a little intimidating. That's why you should come talk with us. At Edelman Financial Engines, we're experts at retirement planning, and we can help you make sure that your retirement is exactly what you want it to be, well-funded. So call us at Edelman Financial Engines, 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
Whether it's a winter wonderland or a rainy land outside, keep your holiday inside cozy with Bartels and the Holiday Gift Guide. There's impressively tacky holiday sweaters, suits, scarves, and slippers for you, and equally festive sweaters for your pets. They'll be so excited. Or get the Star Wars fans on your list really excited with a Millennium Falcon Waffle Maker. Thanks to Bartels, you'll be a gift-giving force to be reckoned with. You get that? Of course you did.
Let's talk for a minute about stock market volatility. Hi, Rick Edelman here. You can expect to see market volatility, but don't let it frighten you out of your investment and retirement accounts. Now, I'm not making light of volatility. We get it. It's unsettling. But volatility is really simply a routine part of long-term investing. And the best way for you to avoid stock market volatility? Don't have all your money in stocks. That's why here at Edelman Financial Engines, we're careful to give our clients highly diversified portfolios, placing only a portion of assets into stocks. This helps give you the confidence that stock market volatility is really nothing to get concerned about. We've been helping thousands of clients just like you for 33 years. So come talk with us at Edelman Financial Engines and let us help put your market worries aside. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com. We talk often here on the Rick Edelman Show about future retirement security, how to make sure your retirement will be everything you want it to be, and what is the government doing to help us achieve all that. A lot of the conversations we have are rather philosophical and conceptual, but there's a tangible, practical element going on right now. There's a piece of legislation before the Congress at this very moment, and the question is whether or not that bill is actually going to pass and whether or not, frankly, it ought to. So to help us figure all this out and understand what's happening, I'm very happy to bring onto the program Susan Neely. She's the president and CEO of the American Council of Life Insurers, a nonprofit trade organization that represents the life insurance industry. Susan was special assistant to President Bush 43. She helped create the Department of Homeland Security. You've been on the program in the past, Susan. Welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure to be with you, as always.
So what we're talking about here today is the SECURE Act. Give everybody a quick briefing, Susan, on what the SECURE Act is and why we regard it as a really good piece of legislation.
SECURE is an acronym for retirement security, and it does a number of concrete and important things. One big one is that it will allow 700,000 small business employees across the country to start saving for retirement. It does that by allowing small businesses to band together to spread the legal and financial requirements and burdens of offering retirement products, 401ks, IRAs, that kind of thing. It allows small businesses to band together to offer those things to their employees. We've got 16 million people in the gig economy who many are contracting with small businesses or working for small businesses. They'll have more access to retirement savings. It also allows older workers to start putting more in their IRAs. And it increases 401k coverage to part-time employees. So it does a lot of very important things, and it will help us close this retirement savings gap we have in the country.
I think a lot of folks are surprised to hear your statistics that we all recognize the importance of saving for retirement. We all are contributing to our 401k at work, if that's what we've got, or a 403b, if that's what we have, or the thrift savings plan, if you're a federal employee. But what I think a lot of folks don't realize is that there are tens of millions of Americans who work for companies, typically small businesses, that don't offer a retirement plan where they work. And all the data tells us that if your employer offers a retirement plan, you're far more likely to save for retirement than if your boss doesn't offer a plan.
The data is absolutely accurate. And what do we all remember when we started our first job? It was that your employer, your HR director saying, pay yourself first. Put in a little in your 401k or your retirement savings plan, and you will never regret it when you get closer to retirement. Well, for 25% of Americans who are over age 65, they didn't have the chance or opportunity to do that. So they have only between $0 and $25,000 in savings. So it's that kind of that group that we want to help, and it's small businesses being able to offer retirement savings options to their employees that the SECURE Act will really make a difference for.
I want to take a little bit of a detour here because I want to get to the key question of what is the status of the legislation on Capitol Hill, but I want to do a slight little detour first. It's not intuitive to me, and I assume for most folks listening to us in this conversation, as to why the American Council of Life Insurers would care as to whether or not retirement accounts get established at small businesses. Why is the ACLI focused on this legislation, Susan?
Well, our members represent companies who've been in business over 100 years, are providing life insurance products, disability products, retirement savings products to their customers. We care about families. You don't get to stay in business beyond 100 years unless you do. And this retirement savings gap that we have that is only going to get worse as we go along unless government does something to help incentivize and make it easier for people to save, that's what we care about. I mean, you've got 10,000 baby boomers a day turning 65 between now and the end of the next 10 years. You've got Social Security will not be able to pay all its bills by 2034. We need to take action now, and that's why we care about passing the SECURE Act.
Susan isn't saying this. I'll say it for you, Susan, that the ACLI, the American Council of Life Insurers, was the first major trade and professional association to publicly endorse this legislation.
Well, we're all in on solutions, and the way you started this conversation, we got to look at pragmatic things that will make a difference, and we think this is one. And so that's just our MO. We're going to be there and leading the charge to help good policy like SECURE get enacted.
All right, so here we are. We're approaching the end of the year. This legislation has been working its way through Congress all year long. I did an event on Capitol Hill a few months ago with the Bipartisan Policy Center as part of the Funding Our Future Coalition, which you are a member of. And there was pretty high level of optimism. We met with the two members of the Senate who had sponsored the legislation. There was a pretty strong level of optimism that the bill would be passed by now, and it still has not. So tell us, what is the current status of the legislation?
Here's why everyone continues to be optimistic. This bill has overwhelming bipartisan support. How many issues can we say that about at this moment in time in terms of what Congress is talking about and discussing? The SECURE Act passed the U.S. House in May with a vote of 417-3. 417 yes votes, 3 no votes. It has strong bipartisan support in the Senate. It was strongly supported by the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, Chuck Grassley, and the ranking member, Senator Ron Wyden, and they are all systems go, as is Leader McConnell. What we're challenged with is just the ticking clock and the before the Senate adjourns at the end of the year, and all the competing interests. So our mission and why we're asking people to really focus on it right now and call their senator is to say this has to be a priority. This is good government. This is government at its best, really enabling the private market to help people help themselves, and this just has to be one of the handful of priorities that gets done before the end of the year. And we think we can do it. We're hearing from leadership in the Senate at the highest level that they believe this is going to get done. But we're taking nothing for granted.
And so the message is that this is an opportunity for political action, for folks to contact their elected members of the U.S. Senate and encourage them to support the legislation, especially in the period we all know how frustrated we all are about what's happening on Capitol Hill, the incredible divisiveness, the fact that there is incredible gridlock, that the Democrats and Republicans are not working together because they have such animosity and such argument over so many critically important political issues facing our nation. This is one where everyone is in pretty much fundamental agreement that it's the right thing to do. It's helpful for the American economy. It's helpful for millions of workers who are currently being denied the opportunities to save for retirement as easily as others who work for big companies. And despite all of that, we seem to have Congress focused attention elsewhere, and great legislation like this isn't moving forward. What would happen, Susan, if the legislation is not passed by December 31? What does that mean?
It'll still be on the table in 2020, but we all know what happens as the election provides even more of a distraction. It needs to happen now before the end of the year. You know, all these process things in terms of the congressional process, and you articulated it well, Rick, that frustrate the heck out of America because real stuff can't get done. Just the timing for this one is now. I can't state that enough. And contacting your U.S. senator and saying, thank you for your support, and please make this a priority. That's what we need right now. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. That's what we all know.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. Sure, they could bring the legislation back into consideration in 2020, but not only do we have the political campaign that's going to interfere with efforts to get anything done next year in a political year, in an election year, is the fact that the legislative process has to start all over again. You don't pick up where you left off. It's got to go through the committees again in the House and the Senate, and it takes all those months, and then we're going to hit the election cycle. And that's why, Susan, you're absolutely right. We either pass this legislation right now, get it done, or run a very serious risk that we're not going to see this happen for who knows how long. So that's the message from Susan Neely, the president and CEO of the American Council of Life Insurers, about the SECURE Act. Thanks so much for joining us, Susan, on the show.
My pleasure.
And you can learn more about the work we're doing with the ACLI and organizations throughout the field of financial security at our coalition website, fundingourfuture.us.
More with the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Truth About Your Future, coming up on The Rick Edelman Show.
Want a financially secure retirement? Hi, Rick Edelman here. Let me tell you how we do it here at Edelman Financial Engines. We start with helping you figure out how much income you'll need in retirement. Next, we look at your pension and Social Security income, and finally, your savings and investments. As part of all this, we consider when you want to retire, your life expectancy, and your spouse's age and life expectancy, too. We look at inflation, taxes, and investment rates of return. And very important, we ask how you feel about leaving money to your kids and grandkids. There's a lot to consider, and if you've never tackled the topic of retirement security before, it can be a little intimidating. That's why you should come talk with us. At Edelman Financial Engines, we're experts at retirement planning, and we can help you make sure that your retirement is exactly what you want it to be, well-funded. So call us at Edelman Financial Engines, 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
My Danny owns the car toy stores, and he's put all kinds of wonderful things in my Buick. Last Christmas, he gave me something called Remote Start, and I love it. I just press a button on the phone, and no matter where I am, the car starts. It's toasty warm. It's like a miracle.
This Christmas, give the gift of new car technology. CompuStar Remote Start from $169 with installation by Car Toys experts. Save $110.
I also love my new Apple CarPlay Stereo. Now I just tell Siri what I want. Play Spotify. Hey Siri, text Danny.
What do you want to say?
Don't be late for dinner. It's easy to keep my eyes on the road, hands on the wheel.
Your message says don't be late for dinner.
Pioneer Apple CarPlay, $299 with free expert installation. Phoenix Gold Amp and Sub Base Package, $149, less than half price.
Car Toys has fantastic gifts for everyone on your list.
A better way to go!
Check out all the great gift ideas at cartoys.com.
Whether it's a winter wonderland or a rainy, rainy land outside, you'll have a cozy holiday inside thanks to Bartell's Holiday Gift Guide. Inside each of our 67 neighborhood Bartells, you'll find all sorts of gifts made right here in the Northwest, which, as a local company ourselves, warms our local business love and heart. Like cozy plush blankets supporting your favorite local football team, blue and green, purple and gold, or crimson and gray. Or choose from Bartell's great selection of local treats, like Seattle Chocolate Holiday Truffle Bars, Emily's Cookie Gift Boxes, Chucker Cherries, and Almond Roca, which all taste approximately 23% better than your average treats, because they're made right here in Washington, just like Bartell's.
Get a jump on your local holiday shopping with Bartell's Holiday Gift Guide. Local Seattle Chocolate Holiday Truffle Bars are only $3.99. And another local holiday tradition, Brown & Haley Almond Roca Gift Box, is only $9.99. Visit BartellDrugs.com to be inspired and view the Holiday Gift Guide.
Welcome back to the Rick Edelman Show. It's almost December 31st. Yeah, no. It's not Christmas. It's not Hanukkah that I'm talking with you about. And it's not even, frankly, New Year's that I'm emphasizing with December 31st. No, I'm talking about year-end tax planning. You will now have a few weeks to go to be able to improve your tax situation for this year and next year. You can accelerate your write-offs, meaning if there are tax deductions that you were going to do in January, do them in December. And if you've got income in December that you can sort of ask someone to pay you in January, by deferring the income and accelerating your write-offs, you can improve your situation. Do you have a flexible spending account, an FSA? If you do, you have money in that account. You must use all of it by December 31st, any money in that FSA that you don't spend, you lose. So you need a new pair of eyeglasses. You've got a doctor's appointment that you can make. Elective situations such as going to the dentist and getting your teeth cleaned. Use the FSA money by December 31. Think about your year-end bonus. Are you going to get one? You might want to put it all or some of it into your retirement plan at work. if you haven't yet put in the full maximum. The limit for 2019 is $19,000. If you haven't contributed $19,000 to your 401k, put some of your year-end bonus to get you up to the max. It's $25,000 if you're 50+. Let's talk about charitable contributions. If you're planning on making a donation to charity and you're writing a check, you've got to mail the check by December 31st. If you're going to use your credit card, such as making a donation online, you have to make sure your credit card is charged by December 31st. You also might want to consider donating directly from your IRA. This is if you're over the age of 70 and a half. You can donate up to $100,000 out of your IRA directly to charity. This lets you avoid the income for the purposes of calculating your Medicare premiums. So this might be of value to you. Keep in mind, you must actually be at least 70 and a half. You can't be turning 70 and a half soon. You've got to already be 70 and a half to be able to do this. And that donation cannot go to a donor-advised fund. It cannot go to a charitable gift annuity or a charitable remainder trust. And you want to make sure that you get a receipt whenever you make a donation to charity. You got to get that receipt timely, like within a few weeks. And you need this receipt so that you can substantiate the deduction that you're taking on your tax return. How about gifts to non-charities, such as children? You can give up to $15,000 to anybody you want, child, niece or nephew, total stranger for that matter. You can give up to $15,000. So can your spouse. So between you and your spouse, you can give $30,000 to a child. If your child's married, you can each give $30,000 to your child's spouse. So you and your spouse can give $60,000 to your child who happens to be married and their spouse. No gift tax implication of any kind. And you can give more than that, by the way. There's really no limit to how much money you can give your children or other people. Keep in mind that if you give more than the $15,000 limit, there's a lifetime limit of $11.4 million, double that if you're married. So most folks don't have to worry about that at all. But if you do give cash to your kids, you should make sure they deposit the checks by December 31. It's not good enough that you mail the checks. That's okay for charity. But for children, they actually have to deposit the check by December 31. Otherwise, it counts as a 2020 gift rather than a 2019 gift, if that happens to matter to you. And you might want to consider contributing to a 529 plan for your kids or grandkids. You can give up to $75,000, $150,000 if you're married. And here's the way it works. You give $75,000, but wait a minute, didn't I just tell you that you can only do $15,000 a year? The IRS says if you give $75,000 to a college savings account, they treat it as though you gave them $15,000 a year for 5 years. So you can get $75,000 out of your estate immediately, get it working on a tax-free basis immediately. You just have to make sure you don't give the kids any more money for a 5-year period. Oh, and here's a nifty idea. When you're giving gifts to charities or to children, don't give them cash. Don't write checks. Instead, give them shares of your mutual funds. Why? Because when you give them shares, you don't have to pay taxes. In other words, if you sold the shares to give them the cash, selling the shares will trigger a tax liability for you. By giving them the shares, you avoid the tax liability. The charity can then sell the shares, and charities are tax-free. They're nonprofit. They don't pay taxes. So you avoid the capital gains tax. They still get the full benefit of the donation, and you still get the 100% tax deduction. Everybody wins. For children, if you give them shares, they're going to end up paying the taxes when they sell the shares. But their tax bracket might be a lot lower than your tax bracket. So, again, this could end up saving the family money. Also, are you 70 and a half or older? You've got to do your required minimum distribution. Now, this gets tricky. A lot of people get it wrong, and here's why. When you calculate your required minimum distribution, you have to make the withdrawal based on the value of the account last December 31. December 31 of 2018, not 2019. A lot of folks get that wrong. Also, if this is the first year that you're turning, 70 and a half, you can delay your 2019 payout to April 1. And that means you can avoid having to do a distribution this year, which avoids the taxes this year. But if you do that, if you pull that trick, you'll not only have to do it by April 1 of next year for 2019, you'll have to do another one in 2020 for 2020, which means you can either do one now and one later or two later. Make sure you don't get that wrong. A lot of folks make the mistake of doing a single one next year for this year, and then they forget to do the one next year for next year, and that hits you with a big IRS penalty of 50%. Yeah, that's a big problem. Do you have investments in a taxable account? I'm willing to bet that if you have a diversified portfolio, you might own shares within that portfolio that have lost value. Well, if you sell those specific shares, you can get a tax deduction for the loss. And then you shift the money to another investment. This is called tax loss harvesting. We routinely examine this for our clients here at Edelman Financial Engines, looking for opportunities for them to save money on their taxes. If you're going to do this on your own, you got to be really careful, because the IRS says that if you're going to sell an investment at a loss in order to take the tax deduction, you can't rebuy that investment for 30 days. Oh, and by the way, it's really 60 days. Do you know why? Because it's 30 days after you sell the investment or 30 days prior. So if you put money into that investment within the last month, you have to wait for that 30-day clock to expire before you trigger the sale. And then you can't trigger a purchase for another 30 days. Gets confusing. Hey, we're talking about taxes here. But there is a big opportunity for people to examine whether or not tax loss harvesting might be of value to you. And if you do have a lot of tax losses that exceed your gains, you're only allowed to use up to $3,000 a year of them. If you have more than that, you have to carry forward the excess losses. What do I mean by all that? It means go back over the last several years. Take a look at prior year tax returns. See if you had excess losses in prior years. You might have forgotten all about them, and you can use them right now in 2019. Pretty good way to lower your taxes when you fill out your tax return next April. And finally, the ultimate way for you to lower your taxes in 2019, have a baby. This is no laughing matter. I'm really serious. Have a baby, because if you have a baby in 2019, this is a huge mistake that so many moms make every year. And you know why? You see it on the news all the time. Every day on January 1st, the local news highlights the first baby born in the new year, right? They go and they show you this cutie little baby in the hospital at 12:01 a.m. and everybody's cheering and applauding the first baby born in America. Nonsense. Total nonsense. You totally blew it, Mom. You got to pop that kid out at 11:59 p.m. on New Year's Eve. Why? Because if the kid is born on New Year's Eve at 11:59 p.m., it counts as being alive for the tax code purposes. And that gives you the tax benefits of having a dependent for the whole year, even though the baby's only been around for a minute. You get a child tax credit. You're eligible for the child and dependent care tax credit, the earned income tax credit. You can save thousands of dollars on your tax return by popping the kid out on New Year's Eve instead of waiting till midnight. So, yeah, have a baby. And remember, when it comes to taxes,
everybody has to pay taxes. Even businessmen that rob and steal and cheat from people every day, even they have to pay taxes.
I'm Rick Edelman. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-752-6742. That's about all the time we've got on the program this week. I'm Rick Edelman, and that's a wrap.
As a reward, you'll have no radio for the rest of the week. Go to your room.
See you next week.
Get the truth about money every weekend on The Rick Edelman Show.